This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome to Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Conan, Dennis Dick. Man, what a month. What a start to the year, and not in a good way. We are going to digest as best we can the happenings of last week. It was, if you're with us on Friday, very, very weak session into the end of the week, into the end of the month. We'll talk about that. We have some stats to just, you know, kind of, you know, blow your mind about how bad a year it's been so far for the stock market and how there's nowhere to hide. We'll talk about the Warren Buffett or the Berkshire Hathaway news over the weekend, the meeting they had there. A lot of news, or at least a couple headlines that came out of that. Bottom line, Buffett did a lot of buying in Q1. We'll talk about the earnings week, big earnings week. The theme of earnings this week is travel. A lot of travel stocks, companies that facilitate travel, are reporting this week. That should give us an idea of at least how much people are traveling. But yeah, we are continuing to leak here. Let's just start the show and just get Joel and Dennis on, because we got a lot to get to. So smash that like. Here we go.
Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Conan.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
I will bring on Joel here, and Joel will bring on his charts. Joel, good morning.
Good morning, Spencer Israel. How you doing this morning?
I'm okay. I feel like you are more even keeled than I am this morning.
Yeah. And we're going to have some fun this morning.
Okay,
Fun segment that I didn't tell you guys about. S&P futures, they're down 12 handles at 45, 15 and a half. We all know what the number is on the downside. Crude, that's down 365 at 101.03, trying to stay in triple digits. They don't even like gold today. Gold's down $37, 1874.70. Silver, now was a laggard last week, and now we know why. Down 43 cents at 22.65. Bitcoin, man, it just doesn't want to give up 38K no matter what. Up 255 at 38.540. And Ethereum futures, they're up just $8 at 27.91.50. We're going to bring on Triple D here. Wow. And Triple D, are you too young? I know Spencer's too young to remember the term jump the shark.
Yes.
I've seen the video where that term originated.
Way too young.
Right.
For that.
Right.
Okay. You don't remember it, Dennis?
No. Never.
I've seen that episode, Joel.
Never heard that in my life. This must have been when Jaws came out, like in 1976.
No, this is when
75.
Happy Days. Arthur Fonzarelli. Jumped
the
shark.
Like Jaws.
Yep. And that's the Fonz there jumping. And a major publication jumped a shark this weekend, and I've been following this publication.
What does the expression mean?
It means like it's over. Like it's like, you know, it's like they like the show was over. They were like, it was the stupidest thing to do was Fonzie jumping the shark.
I'm going to read you a definition. All right,
that was the end of the show.
The definition is when something reaches like a new low in terms of like quality or performance or gimmicks. It's just it's a new low. Like okay. Jump the shark. What Joel said, it's done.
Yes. And yeah. I've been following this publication here.
It means you went too far, right?
They went too far, okay? I may unsubscribe today, okay? But I don't know. Did anybody see the cover of Barron's?
No, sorry.
Did you see the cover of Barron's? No, let's see it. Okay.
Wait.
This is what it says.
You got to hold it up longer.
Yeah. I can't read it. What does it say? It's hard to read.
Can you read it now?
Okay, I'm going to read how Elon Musk can fix Twitter. He can even save social media. The risks to Tesla are overblown. They're bullish Musk. Very bullish Musk.
Yes.
Long Musk. Okay. Definitely their long Musk.
Okay. So, he can fix Twitter. I mean, I would say, okay, I don't know what the risks are to Tesla, right? I'm not a Tesla analyst. But maybe he can fix Twitter. Save social media? I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, the bots, and they're talking about how he's going to get rid of the bots are so smart. There's nothing he can do to that platform that you're going to get rid of the bots, and you're going to get. So I've been subscribing this for 30 years. Okay. That's what I think.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. That's a bold statement.
That's
right
it. And that's, you know, it's like listening to our show, but like a week late. You know, everything. I mean, they do have some good articles, but I saw that and I'm like, oh man, this is going to be a good, I want to read this article. And I read it and I'm like, what are they saying? So they jumped a shark and I'm just very surprised at that. I mean, just
wow,
poor journalism. I mean, that's all I can say.
All right. Let's just talk overall market here. April was, to put it mildly, a doozy.
What were the stats?
Stats are pretty brutal. For the S&P 500, it was only the worst month since March 2020, which seems bad, but not as bad when you compare it to the NASDAQ composite, which has worst month since October 2008. 2008!
I remember October 2008, the financial crisis. Wasn't fun for stocks.
No. I mean, I got a gajillion stats, a gajillion charts here. I'll just bring this one up on the screen.
Yeah.
In terms of the start to the year, the you know the first
tail four, the tape
first 4 months of the year for the S&P worst first 4 month period for the S&P 500. I'm sorry, third worst since 1928.
Yeah, the third worst. So not a good start. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, here's the good news, right? If you look at the other years, right?
They turned it around.
Someone turned it around, right?
Yeah. So we got to get bullish here.
Anytime you're in the same category as 1932 for anything, not great, Bob.
Don't want to hear those years.
No. Something like 45% of the NASDAQ composite members are down 50%. Like almost half the index is down by half.
Not much.
Yeah, wow. It's crazy.
Wow.
So it's been a pretty rough. It was a pretty rough go of it. Joel and I were there watching, on stream at the close of Friday, and we just could not stop going down.
Yeah, what was that like, Triple D?
Man, it was ugly. And I had a feeling that we were gonna rally. I was dead wrong, man. On Friday, with my feeling, I thought we were gonna come. I thought we'd come in a bit, and I'm like, okay, this 420. I think we'll find some buyers. They just couldn't. They just kept hitting them. And I'm like, tried a few longs. I'm like, stopped out. I'm like, this is what happens. You go and you try your longs and you get stopped out because they just
leadership,
keep on going lower.
Our leadership. We lost. I mean, we've been talking about this for a long time.
Amazon was huge. But Apple held up. Apple actually didn't make a new low. And I thought if Apple held up, I thought that maybe the S&Ps could hold up, but not the case. They hammered everything else, and then eventually Apple succumbed as well. But Apple, for a long time, was actually trying to hold green in the morning, Joel. I don't know if you noticed, but Apple dipped off the hop, and then it rallied. And I'm like, okay, this is what I was talking about. I'm like, I'm feeling, you know what, they might actually come in. But then they just slowly started hammering everything else, and then they just eventually started hammering Apple too. So it didn't matter. The quarter was fine. Amazon was just on everybody's minds as well, obviously breaking down. And I'm looking pretty good now on my Amazon sale, averaged out at 3,100. I took a lot of heat from Twitter when I did that. People said I'm going to be rebuying that stock at 5,000. I said I think I'm going to get it back at my 2,200 price eventually. I still think I'm going to get it back at my 2,200 price. I hope I got the guts to buy it there, though.
You know what it was? It was the 10 o'clock turn. I mean, you know.
Was there a number at 10? I don't even.
I know.
Nothing.
I don't know. No, I mean, a lot of time, you know, that first half hour, yeah. And it was like, oh, we look good. We made a new interday high. And I'm like, wait a second. And then it was, you know, it was the old 10 o'clock turn. And Apple did, it did hold up for, it was just going down. Right, here's the open, right? It made a high. That was just after 10. I know because I was watching the S&Ps at that point. But you know what? We got to talk about this week, man. We got to talk about what's going to happen this week. I mean, we know what happened last week.
We got to talk about
this week.
We were in the heart, so we're kind of still in the heart of earnings season. There's going to be over 1,000 companies report. I think it's actually close to 1,500 companies reporting this week. Spencer would maybe have those exact numbers, but I mean, this morning, we just had Berkshire over the weekend with their meeting. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But really, you know, we got a few reports tonight, kind of light tonight. There's some reports, but no big names. We're like MGM's going to report, SEDG. There's a few. But then again, a Tuesday, you're going to get AMD, Starbucks, Pfizer, and Airbnb. And Wednesday, you're going to get into Booking and Uber and Etsy and eBay and Twilio. And Thursday, you're going to Shopify and Square and Datadog. You got a lot of higher PE names in here. And that's the concerning thing as
well. You know
what,
Dennis?
We kind of went through value tech. Now we're going into growth tech earnings. And growth tech has been absolutely hammered. Expectations are low for a lot of these companies. I mean, sentiment overall in the market is fairly low here as well now. So, I mean, can they say anything? Is there going to be some companies? Can AMD come out Tuesday night and, you know, get over the low bar that the stock has set? Because, I mean, AMD, and I own it, bag holding this one. It's been crushed too. I mean, there's just so many stocks been crushed.
You know what? I have to say, under normal circumstances, that you're right. It's a big report, big week, earnings reports. I don't think it matters. I think you got a Fed meeting on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay. They're going to go a half. What are they going to say? Are they going to get afraid? You know, are they going to be bullied by
the
market?
Some people worry they're going to go 75.
Yeah. And then, Dennis, jobs number on Friday, you know, what if you get a big leap in unemployment, you know, and so then the double whammy, then the recession fears come in.
The stagflation fears start coming.
Exactly. So I mean, you pay attention to the earnings reports. I mean, if Apple could have, I mean, Apple had a weird day before its report, but I think on big, good reports, you're going to see people selling pops. And on bad reports, I think they're not going to be buying dips. I think that's what you're going to see.
This is the root of the problem. You're hitting the nail on the head. Is off of these earnings reports, the companies that have reported excellent earnings, like Microsoft was excellent, hold up for a day or two, and then eventually come back down.
Yep.
I mean, Visa.
Let's not forget Tesla. Tesla's report was objectively very good.
Yeah, and it's done the same thing. It held up for like 3-4 days, and then the overall market pressures just break it. So it's like if you do report disappointing earnings and you go down, you keep going down. You report good earnings and you bounce for a couple of days and then eventually go down anyways. It's like heads the shorts win, tails the shorts win. It's the kind of market that the shorts are raking in coin and the longs are just getting crushed. I'm feeling in a long-term portfolio. I felt it in April. I'm 50% cash. And I'm like, I'm still getting my ass kicked in this long-term portfolio because I own the Microsofts. I own the Apples. You know, and I own fairly conservative stocks. I own hardly nothing growthy. I did do the AMD, but I mean, there's not a lot of growthy names in there. And I'm still getting killed here, Joel, in the long-term portfolio. You were talking about logging into your long-term portfolio to take a little sneak peek. It gives you the willies. Those long-term retirement, long-only accounts, they don't do that well in this market.
No, they don't. I had to log in just to look something up. And I really didn't want to, but I did it for the first time. I only really go in there at the start of the year, right? Just to look and see how I did the year before. And so I haven't been in there since like the first week of January.
Ooh.
And it gave me the willies.
A little shock factor, a little gut rot, a little bit.
I had to look. I was like, wait a minute, is that right?
That's the right account.
Did I take a withdrawal from that account? Did I move some money?
Anyway,
it's a tough investing environment. It was an excellent trading month. I had a good trading month. I actually can track my stats now, so I did post them to Twitter, which I have never been able to do because I'm primarily prop, obviously, so you can't really do that. But yeah, so I did post those to Twitter over the weekend. If you want, you can take a look. Oh. It was an excellent trading month, but the investing month was ugly. I mean,
you don't
same
short
thing.
In your investing account. I mean, you know, you don't.
Well, and but I think it's the right call not to shorten your investing account. I've bought some of these stocks and I've done very well. I mean, if I was shorting my investing account, I don't think I'd have those 1,000% gainers.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you're supposed to like be buying like Spencer Israel saying, then you're not looking. And eventually, you know, over the course of 10 to 15 to 20 years, it's supposed to build wealth if you buy good companies at reasonable prices. But right now it's feeling awful. It's like, oh, you know, I keep thinking Disney is a good deal. So I add a little bit of Disney. Well, now it's, you know, continuing to go down every single day. Everything you buy, it's not even Disney. It's not even, it's just any stock really now. Yeah. Because we were hiding and it was commodities were doing well and consumer staples were doing well and everything was doing well. They've started hitting everything here, Joel. XLP breaking down where they were hiding before. And we said this and we warned about this, that if you were hiding and thinking that you're safe in consumer staples and safe in commodities and safe in everything else, if the bear market gets ugly enough, they will come for those as well. And that is what we are starting to see with XLP breaking down last week, with XLU quickly giving back. Like let's talk about this move in XLU. From 77 to 71, there's an 8% fall in eight trading sessions in something that people are using as the equivalent of cash. Cash is the only thing that works. U.S. dollars, not Bitcoin. U.S. dollars are the only thing that will work if it really starts to get ugly. You cannot hide in staples. You cannot hide in commodities. You cannot hide in utilities. If it really starts to get ugly, they will come for all of it.
You know what? Bitcoin's holding up pretty well.
It's held up very well, Joel. Yeah. And I'm very surprised. And I tweeted out a couple last week. I was like, this crypto wreck is going to be ugly. I still think it's coming. I have a little piece of Bitcoin left. You know that. I had a big chunk. And then Ethereum, I have a little piece left too. Just like a taster, just in case I'm wrong. But for the most part, I'm pretty much out of that stuff because risk assets have been hit. I'm very surprised it's held up well. I do eventually think it's going to break. I think you're going to eventually see Bitcoin break. And I think you're going to see Ethereum break. And I think you're going to break crypto as well. Some people are already saying it's already broke because it was at 70,000 or 68,000. It's down to 38,000. What do you want? But I mean, they're coming for this stuff. This is the nothingness trade. You know, you're literally investing in just numbers. And it's the game that somebody's going to see, perceive it as more valuable the next day. But there's no cash flows. There's nothing there. So it's just numbers. So, I mean, I think eventually they come for it, but they haven't yet. So far, so good for Bitcoin holders.
All right. Maybe that's a good segue into Buffett and Berkshire from this weekend, because they talked about that, as you would expect, a number of headlines. You know, if there's a silver lining here is to all this negative market talk is that Warren Buffett was doing a lot of buying in the first quarter. About $40 billion is actually $41 billion of purchases during Q1. So Warren Buffett is buying when there's blood on the streets, all right?
What did he buy? Yeah.
I'm glad you asked. He bought, this is interesting, a lot more Activision Blizzard.
We joked that. Is he getting into risk arbitrage? And apparently he
is.
He mentioned it.
He talked about this like decades ago. This is a thing they used to do, like way back in the day. They used to do risk arb. They don't really do it anymore, but they addressed it. So yes, the answer is they are getting back into it. They now own 9.5% of Activision Blizzard. They owned like 1% at the end of the year. So they just increased their stake ninefold in the first 4 months of the year.
He better hope. So here's my concern with Activision Blizzard, and I would sell the pop today if I was an Activision Blizzard at $77.40. I know. What's the ticker price? $95?
That's me. Dennis, that's me.
Is it $95?
Yeah.
So that's nice to see, but you've got to look at what the peers are doing right now. And EA starting to get hit hard. Take Two getting hit hard. So one thing to consider, you've got to analyze from this perspective. People think, oh, well, if the deal doesn't go through, it's going back to $65.
No, it's not.
And if the deal goes through, it's going to $95. So I have a 2-to-1 risk reward. People will analyze it that because that's where it gapped up from on the deal. But we're not in Kansas anymore. Activision Blizzard, if the deal gets blocked for antitrust reasons, and it's still going to be potentially those reasons, it will not gap down to 65. It'll probably gap down to under 50.
You're right.
That's your risk. So you've got to basically balancing. Is the deal going to go through, deal or no deal? I kind of think it's a coin flip. So I think the risk arbs kind of got it right. But as it gets up to $77, $78, $80, it becomes more skewed, the risk reward to the downside, in my opinion. So I know there's huge upside, you know, and maybe the deal goes through. It's a good chance to go through. But if it gets blocked, you're not going back to 65, folks. You're going back to probably 55 or 50. If the deal was to get blocked,
you know what?
They have hammered those stocks.
You know what? You know, and I don't know if anyone's mentioned this, but you know, what if Microsoft walks away?
They can't. They're not going to walk away.
They're not going to walk away.
This isn't Elon Musk. This isn't Elon Musk. Microsoft is like, we changed our minds.
The
risk here is antitrust.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do their homework. They're not like, I woke up one day and I wanted to own Twitter.
No, Joel's. I mean, they can.
They're not going to though. They don't have a history of doing that. I think there's zero chance that Microsoft all of a sudden says we changed our minds, we're going to pay it and we're out, and we're going to get our lawyers and we're out. I think there's almost zero chance. This is Microsoft.
Well,
it would hurt their whole credibility as a company, maybe, you know, to just do stuff like that.
Maybe if the earnings report from the other week wasn't what was worse, like if they had a really bad quarter, but it really wasn't that bad.
There's almost no chance of that happening, but the risk here is significant. That there is antitrust concerns here. It's been mentioned. You're in a market environment where they are worried about the consumer. So could this get blocked? You know, could it get blocked somewhere? Yeah, it could. And that's what the risk arbs are pricing in. It's not that the risk that Microsoft's going to walk away. Twitter is the risk that Elon Musk might just go to bed, wake up, and change his mind. That is a significant risk. But Activision Blizzard, the risk is that the deal gets blocked.
Yeah. It's fair. It's fair. So
okay, I stand corrected.
So he bought more Activision. He bought more Chevron, and he bought more Oxy. Those are the three. And we already know about the HPQ stake. We already know about the what was it Allegheny that they bought?
Why?
We already know about that.
But why? Why is already taken over, right? So sell why?
It's not.
No, he's buying why.
He's buying why.
Why? Why is there, it's getting taken over? What's the, why is getting bought by somebody? I don't know what he'd be doing in that.
I think isn't he the one doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Is he the one taking it? Oh, he's the one that's taking it. I didn't know.
Yes.
I knew it's getting bought by somebody.
No, he is.
Okay, so that's why he bought more, because he's taking it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I gotcha.
So he bought.
Yeah, he is $11.6 billion.
So he bought that.
I knew somebody was buying it.
Right. So
he's the.
In addition to the Allegheny and the HPQ, added Oxy, added Chevron, and added Activision. Those are the big three.
You know what? I'm looking at these, and the Chevron, the charts have turned a little bit, right? But this Oxy, I don't – I might send Warren an email here, because I don't like this. I mean, what you got up to, you know, 63.56,
yeah,
and then what you get down to 51.50, that's like a 10-point move. If this thing doesn't get back over 57.50 and hold in a jiffy, and this economy's slowing down and people are going to be traveling and, you know, recession, I mean, I don't like this chart. I mean, if it gets above, you know, 57.50 this week and holds, I like it a whole lot better. But that's, you know, that's that amazing run. And it's starting to, you know, like you said, if they're going to start selling stuff. So the CVX, I mean, that hasn't bottomed off. It's slow to move. But for you Oxy people out there, please, please keep an eye on 57.50.
I would not be buying the pullback in commodity stocks here. I think that they were crowded. I think the prices of oil is going. I think everything in prices is going to start to come down. So I think we're at peak inflation right now. And the reason I say this is talk to people. Talk to people, like Kramer said, get out there and talk to people.
Open the window.
There's a lot of stuff that people are just like, no, I'm not doing that. I mean, like, I'll give you multiple examples. My dad was going to build a shelf in his shop. So he goes up to Home Depot, just, you know, I'm going to buy the 2x4s. They were $10.99 a 2x4. We're in Canada, $10.99. He's like, no. Nah. He's like, I don't need the shelf that bad. That's demand destruction at its core. So he's like, no, I'll wait. I'm not going to build a shelf. You know, like I was saying, you know, I'm talking to builders, you know, I'm building a house, I'm talking to, you know, different people. There are jobs being lost everywhere. And it's not that they're losing bits to other people. It's that people are canceling jobs. My brother-in-law, you know, like, are just, you know, talking different things to do an addition. Well, that's on delay now, too, because the price of stuff is absurd. So people are delaying projects or potentially canceling projects because of the cost. That is going to show up eventually in prices. Prices will, of stuff will eventually come down because people are going to refuse or can't pay it. So we've had just too much. You know, it's been COVID excuse. Oh, yeah, we're raising prices because of COVID. But eventually the greed from all these companies from just raising prices, and in the private industry too, I'm talking about, is going to show up in demand destruction. So I do think you're at peak inflation right now. I believe that. And that's a good thing for the stock market. That's a good thing. So if we get a CPI report that shows a little bit soft data next week, when is it next week?
CPI data? CPI, it's always like the middle of the month. I think it's the 10th or 11th, yeah.
So, okay, so you got 10 or 11 days. I think you could still have some ugliness, but I think you're going to eventually get to that number and it's not going to be that as bad as predicted. And that's going to be the green light where people start buying stocks maybe. So I think you could have another 7, 8, 10 days here of ugliness, but I do eventually think there's going to be a buying opportunity here. So if you're nibbling here, I'm not going to argue with you. But the time to be full-on bearish and sell everything was 3-4 months ago. You know, how long were we talking about? Like, I'm 50% cash, 50% cash, 50% cash. How many times I said that on the show?
100?
It's been like 5 months. I mean,
and you
it was
said
coming.
Also that about the because I did a little article on it about you know, waiting for the CPI data.
I think I start getting off that level. That's when I start nibbling stocks. I did buy one stock in the long term portfolio last week, Virtue Financial. It's been absolutely crushed.
Why is
I
that
put it back
like this?
Because the numbers, the earnings were like good, but then they just decide to crush everything anyways. I mean, this stock is high frequency trader. They make money. They'll actually be making more money right now because of the increase in volatility. It's coming back to a great support level of $28. Yeah. The wild card is payment for order flow. They benefit from payment for order flow because they pay. They would say they don't benefit because they have to pay it, but then they're getting that flow and we can know that they get the edge on the orders from retail. But I mean, so that's the wild card, but it's got a decent dividend, 3.3%. I mean, this is a company.
But Dennis,
that
there's less order.
The
there's only one caveat here. Yeah. There's less order flow.
There's less order flow.
that's probably something to do with it as well. So I mean, Robinhood, you know, not doing well is not great for Virtue either. But this is a stock that's like that's trading like a PE of 6, guys, 5 or 6. Now maybe it's peak earnings for them right now. Maybe it's going to slow down, and maybe if everybody closes a retail account, it's going to get uglier here. But you know, I'm not saying I'm putting 100% of my wealth in it either. When I buy a new stock for the portfolio, I dump 1-3%. Disney's like 4 or 5%. It's a bigger position. Virtue's to 2-4%. You know, and it's diversified, but not a trade. This is not in the trading account. It's a long-term investing account. But that's the only stock that I bought. So I'm like, there's so many other stocks. Yeah, I guess I added Disney earlier in the week, which was a mistake. But this was a mistake too. I mean, every time you buy a stock, they just seem to go lower the next day anyway. So. But eventually, what I'm trying to say, eventually I'm going to put a little more of that 50% cash to work. And I think that time's coming sooner rather than later. I'm not saying coming out and buying here right now. I tried to say I was buying some stocks on Friday, and I was like, I got stopped out on all that stuff. So that obviously didn't work. But long-term investing, I think if you're sitting with 100% cash, its market could turn sometime. I think we're going to test, and we're going to hit some stops under 4,000 now. I don't see any reason to be like a hero and say today's the bottom, but I'd get ready.
You said 4,000. Well, first things first is we haven't taken out the February low. We did get close to there this morning. We got to 41.11 and a quarter. I brought this up before. I just don't like the way it looks underneath that. And I went back and I was trying to find some levels. And when do you think I had to go back to? To find my next daily low to put on my sheet. How far back do you think I had to go?
March 2020.
No, Spencer.
Go back that far.
Come on.
It hasn't been that ugly.
Spencer.
We're not the COVID
where are you
bomb.
At, Spencer?
If we were in March 2020 crisis, right, I'd buy everything.
Yeah. Where do you think? May. about a year ago. I got May 20th of 21, and then this is the rolling front month contract. So you know you gotta give or take, but you know they didn't have the December or the June 22 contract back then. But it was 40-50-50. And that's what you have under the 40-93.25. So first things first, as we take out 40-93.25, it's just it's kind of a vacuum. So when you said 4,000, you know, so you're talking about another 120 points. Yeah. You just think we're going to
hit those.
You're going to blow through the Fab Low.
I think so.
And then go to 4,000. Okay.
I think so. Okay. I just, I don't see any reason to be the like we've come this far. We're taking out the March lows on the S&P.
Right.
I mean,
right.
There's
okay.
no way we're going to hold 410.64 on spot. It's you know I guess there's okay. always a possibility, but I think we've come this far. We're taking out the March lows. We're going to hit those stops at least. Probably eventually go under 4,000 just to hit whatever stops we can. You know, and where does that take us to? Like the date I've still got on my pencil is that CPI number because I don't think it's going to be as bad.
Well, hold on now. Because between now and next Wednesday, we do have a Fed meeting and a jobs report.
Right. Some more information coming.
Yeah.
Information
is the Fed
going to
get all scared? You know, is the Fed going to get all scared because the market's going down? I don't think so.
I think they got to stick.
They got to stick with what we're doing.
They're tougher. They don't care about, you know, the wealth effect as much as they care about inflation right now. And it's a very good point. I mean, this is, you know, a serious problem that the Fed is dealing with in the correct way. Interest rates had to go up. We had to slow it down. But I'm going to tell you right now, from what I'm seeing, just from walking out there, I think it's starting to work.
I just saw the stat from Deutsche Bank, courtesy of the Wall Street Journal. Net call buying activity in single stocks hit their lowest level since April 2020. So maybe that is the sign of the washout, right? It's just like no, like just fewer YOLO call options, right, being purchased here because they're all worthless, right? So the trading mania that Charlie Munger and Warren Buffett lambasted over the weekend seems to be coming off here a little bit.
It's come off a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen and you know, we can look at our retail accounts and obviously you can look at your investment account and say, man, I'm really getting killed. But there's people who are investing all this growthy stuff. There's I'm not kidding. Ooh. There's people who are aggressive growthy stuff that are down 60, 70, 80%.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm complaining because, you know, the S&P's dropped 7 or 8. I'm about the same thing, you know. And then I got half cash. I'm complaining about losing. I don't know what I lost in April in the investment account, but it's probably to the tune of 4 or 5%. But, you know, it pisses you off when you got your long-term retirement account. You see it go down 5% in a month. It's still – and you think you're conservatively invested. You know, it's not fun. But there has just been everybody – I mean, Kathy, what did she do in April? Somebody said she was down 28%. Is that right?
I can look, yeah.
I don't know if that's the stat.
Did she do anything on Friday? Or was she quiet on Friday?
She's buying the same chunk, I think. Let's go look. Yeah. I was going to unsubscribe. You know, it's becoming like she's becoming more irrelevant, like Merk Chaikin was saying. When you don't look at it anymore, we used to look at it all the time. And nobody cares
really
now. Nobody cares
anyways.
What she bought.
All right. Go look at her. Anyway, her performance is bad is the bottom line. 8:33, we're going to have Tim Kwas join us in a couple minutes here. I did want to briefly mention more bearish news. But new month, which means we do get EV delivery stats from all the major EV companies. And in China, no real surprise here. COVID lockdowns severely hampered those three major EV names. So NIO, Li, and XPeng all reporting massive massive declines in production because there are lockdowns. So NIO reported a 50% decline in production from March to April. XPeng reported a 41% month-over-month decline. Li reported a 62% month-over-month decline in production. Probably not like a super long-term problem here, assuming they come out of this eventually. But speaking of headlines that are obvious, Mitch and I were talking. This was an obvious headline, right? So those three stocks are all down this morning. Obvious headline. You can't produce cars when you're on lockdown. Bottom line.
And rise, you know, prices. I mean, going up. I mean, yeah. Ford. Oh boy, Did they pull the rug on that report? Was that Friday? Was that Thursday or Friday when it was trading up in the pre-market? And
well, GM too.
Yeah.
GM had okay numbers, but they've got it knocked back down.
I mean,
as well.
You got to pay. Ooh, look at this number. And for you GM people, if you want to wait until it gets above 39.5, I know that's $2 away, but look at that. Four highs right there at 39.5. There's a good level. Ford, I haven't looked at. Wow. Figure. Oh, nice round number. 14 went to 1390 on Thursday. Held up though, it made a higher low on Friday. So there's a little beacon of good news for you Ford shareholders on a relative basis, but it also got smoked on Thursday. So, Tesla, we got to look at Tesla. I mean, you know, if people are not going to be buying, you know, big ticket items and stuff,
That breakdown after the Twitter deal, it took 2 days. They held it up on the first day, and you were worried about it, Joel, and you were absolutely correct. On the second day, they hammered it. And now it just sits here. It doesn't know what it wants to do. It's kind of glued to this whole 900 areas, up, down, around for 4 days last week. It's starting to leak here again. I mean, high valuation, been a story stock for a long time. Is this the breaking point? Because Musk, you know, they're worried that Musk is going to be busy with other stuff. I mean, or, you know, that he might potentially have to sell more shares to finance it. I mean, is this what's going to break Tesla? I mean, nothing's broken Tesla. You know, all the things that could potentially break Tesla. Is this actually what's going to do it? It's kind of ridiculous if this is what's going to do it.
But, you know, if you think about it, I mean, even if he loses, you know, everything in it, and Twitter's, I mean, he's still got a couple hundred billion, right? If it turns out Twitter shut down in a couple years,
I do know the vast majority of his net worth is tied up in Tesla, but he does.
Yeah, so I mean,
remember he owns SpaceX.
He does. So it's nothing if it goes out.
SpaceX has a valuation of what? $100 billion.
I'd rather invest in SpaceX than Tesla. I mean, the upside in SpaceX is so much more than Tesla.
I don't know. I would balk at investing in any private company based on the private market valuations right now.
Well, yeah. Well, they've obviously been wrong about.
So I don't know. I don't know about that one.
I just don't know. What, Tesla's still worth like $1 trillion, isn't it? What the hell is Tesla worth?
No, it's not worth $1 trillion.
Was at one time? Was it not? Didn't it hit $1 trillion?
Yeah, I believe so.
Close to it?
Not now.
Just insanity, like what people are willing to pay for things. Like that's what's coming off. And that's what's been coming off, and that's what's going to continue to come off, because we're like, we know what we said. We hypothesized 1 year ago on this show. Are we in, you know, March or April of the year 2000, where all these growth stocks are going to go down 80% to 90%? We hypothesized that. You know, I think there was even an article after we did it, and I was showing the charts and the comparisons, and that's proving to be correct. We were in the tech bubble burst. The tech bubble burst back 1 year ago. You only know when you look back. But people can say, "Oh, it burst." It didn't burst. The tech bubble burst back in this new tech bubble burst back in January 2021, literally 16 months ago. And it's been leaking and slowly leaking. We've had some nice rallies, but you know, and obviously some of the stocks have made new highs. But growth tech, you know, topped out 16 months ago. And it's those stocks that continue to leak. It's those stocks that probably are never coming back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, the Teladocs that were $300 a share. I mean, literally, I think it hit $300 a share. I mean, that back, January 2020 or February 2021. I mean, it's $30. And there's going to be people that are looking at this like Kathy Wood and saying that this is eventually going back there. And it's going back. But I'm on the other camp. I don't think it's ever going back there.
Let's get Tim Kwas' thoughts on all this. It's time for Market Structure Mondays. Let's bring Tim on right now.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mr. Quast, what is your first off? Good morning. Hope you had a great weekend.
Good morning. Yes,
what is your take on the shellacking of last week and last month?
It's interesting because you could take two positions along a spectrum, or I suppose anywhere between them. So we're either going through what Dennis said, and I agree, Dennis, I would go back to May of 2021, where as the way we measure broad market sentiment works, the momentum market ended. And there's a big gap between cause and effect, because it's a big market and it takes people a while to get there. So on one hand, you could say this is just a normal, natural, healthy process of resetting valuations to reasonable levels, to your point about Tesla, $900 billion in market cap, or you could go to the other extreme, and it's possible. I'll float the idea, and I did this over the weekend with a couple of folks, traded notes with them. I said you could also say that we're in a full-blown financial crisis, and we just don't know it yet. We have this way of looking around for the signals that will tell us, well, these are the things that have to happen for a financial crisis to occur. But I think it's that prudent people should look at it so that you're not caught out. I'm not inflating the downside. That seems counterintuitive.
What makes
I'm
you
saying
think
that we should think about that? Well, because the NASDAQ had its worst week since October 2008, I was listening to Mohammed Alarian this morning on CNBC.
Mohammed's awesome.
Yeah, he's a very, very bright guy, and he pointed out that if you look over the last year, we increased the supply of currency by $2 trillion over the last $2 trillion over the last year, and now the Fed is contemplating reducing it by $500 billion over the next year. He said, well, that's a $2.5 trillion swing. What effect does that have on financial assets? Well, we don't know. I mean, you could look around the planet and say that there are things to be concerned about, that the yen is at a 30-year low versus the dollar, and they seem happy with that. The dollar has the strength of that it would have during a financial crisis when people are looking for a place for shelter. The Eurozone has really slowed down. China has slowed down. So if you looked at all these things, wouldn't it be something? And I look, it's part of the natural cycle for economies. And a bunch of the audience here probably has never been through something like that. They're that young. But you have to think about the fact that we have these signals that could tell us that we're right on the edge, just entering a financial crisis. And it has to do with the extraordinary effort that we took to prevent one during the pandemic. Well, you can delay it, but you're still going to have to go through it. So somewhere in between those two is where we are, I think, Spencer.
Well, and there is a good point to be made there. You could take it back even further than that. I mean, look at what they did in 2007, 2008, and 2009. Did they change anything, or did they just throw more money at the problem? Right. I mean, we kicked the can down the road back then as well. And now we've been, kicking the can for another 10 years. And then we really started booting the can hard during the COVID crisis here. I mean, they've given the market so much liquidity and so much free money that you're taking some of that back, it's got to have some repercussions.
Absolutely. What we used as extraordinary measures to prevent the collapse of the global payment system in 2008. What that means, by the way, people, is that, and traders, this matters to you, because what you do in the equity market, because we're talking about short-term trading as opposed to long-term investing for the most part on this program. I mean, there are occasions when we don't, but what that means is that you could go to the ATM and nothing would come out. So it was that severe. And then the policies that we use to address something of that severity became normal policies. So at some point, there will be a consequence from that. I realize that the modern monetary theorists believe that there are currency creators and currency users and that you can balance those things out. But I think that we're experiencing the fact that you cannot, deprive people of the value of their currency by creating too much of it, and everything will just work out. What will happen is you will form bubbles. I would call it a pandemic bubble, where all the stuff that thrived during a pandemic, when people are working at home and their behaviors are altered, traded at extraordinary, extreme levels. And then the air comes out of that. And at the end of it, you realize, well, I have less capacity to consume things now than I did before. And that's a condition that we're going to have to address. I mean, Workhorse is trading at $3. You know, there's an example.
I mean, there's a bazillion examples of that in the growthy tech, you know, the story stocks column. You know, what was a cool story in 2020, 2021 that was just going up, you know, and it didn't make money? All of those stocks, anything storied, really, really got hit the hardest. But, you know, they're coming for the value stuff now too, Tim. I mean, we've seen a turn here in April. You know, it wasn't ugly for a lot of stocks. A lot of commodity stocks were making new highs in March. I mean, you had a lot of value names that were just, you know, seemingly going up forever. And it seemed like the place to be. But it's turned there too now. And maybe we should jump into market structure edge and start looking at some of these value stocks. Maybe it's just go, can you look at Berkshire Hathaway? Is that a stock in your universe to look at? Because it's not really a stock.
Should be. Let's
Should look at that, because here, you know, we were talking about how good Warren had it, how good he was doing. I couldn't even understand. Apple was going down, but Berkshire was still coming up. Well, that has changed here now.
It could have been because he was buying. Like,
maybe. But we're 360 down to 320 here in the course of about 5 weeks. I mean, that is a tidy little 15% sell-off for the world's greatest investor. Or 13%. So Berkshire has now turned as well too.
So we have the B shares, A shares.
That's good. The B is good.
From a market structure perspective, I wouldn't buy BRKB right now, because demand is falling and supply is rising. Those things don't tend to produce gains. But if you backed up, clearly this was a great time where demand is soaring and supply is declining. That's in any market, traders, here's your great lesson. Wherever the money is, that's where you want to be. And then you trade the things that have the best supply demand characteristics. And here's a way to look at it. So, you know, EdgeMob, you will know this, but here's what you would do. You say, consumer staples might be a good place to be. If I look at the supply demand balance, it's not great even for the whole group. There are 133 stocks in it. But you could do this. You could say, well, let's go look at the whole group and let's isolate down to the things that have rising demand and constrained supply. So that's what I would do. And I'll tell you, this is kind of interesting. So I would come over here to the D trend, the demand trend, and say, I only want stuff that's going up. I might make a couple of other adjustments to this, but I only get 8 stocks. Right. Even in
out of 132,
Oh boy.
You get 8?
It's 8. There are only 8 of them with rising demand. And I would look at them and say, well, out of these, there's a down, and a down. So if I'm looking at the data, and that's a 1.8, so I'm not buying Coty, even though you could say, you know, it's a consumer staple. Are people going to buy makeup? Probably. But it's a 1.8. I look at this and say, well, Price Smart is a possibility. 63% supply, not doing it. So then I'm down to really Lifeway. I mean, there's
what stock out of 132?
Out of all the stocks, I would say there's one stock that would interest me. See that? Rising demand, falling supply. There is one stock that has a reasonable probability of rising right now out of 133 in the place where the money is going, consumer staples. That is a great barometer for the market. That tells you something. Now, I think we could get some new month, new money. There are people, you know, including myself, although we're packing stuff in cash. I've asked our long-term, our financial advisors, hold stuff in cash. I don't want to just throw it into them. To the smoking hole in the ground, but there are going to be inflows from retirement plans that tend to come in the first part of the month and they get deployed. So you could have a couple of good days, but I look at the data and say, one of my favorite lines, the prudent foresee evil and hide themselves. If I can only find one stock out of 133 in the sector where the money is going that looks good, well then you should go to Charlie Munger. You know, you don't want to do stuff that makes you look bad. So, you know, right now I think it makes you look bad to plow much money into the market.
And it makes you look bad to call the bottom because, I mean, I've tried a couple of times here. I think we're getting a little bit of a turn. I'm going to try some stock longs. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it looks good for about 2 hours. And they pull the rug out from under it. It's like, I just got caught in yet another sucker's rally. I mean, there have been so many in the last year, really, even we can talk since November for the majority of stocks, but obviously in the growthy names, it's been 16 months since a lot of these stocks have topped out, and every rally has been a sucker's rally.
The NASDAQ is now for the trailing year, the trailing 12 months is down about 8%. And if so, the S&P 500 is now down for the full trailing year, which is a remarkable thing. When you think about all of the people who are trading and the explosion from about 65 million retail trading accounts at various firms to at the peak of the pandemic frenzy, there were over 100 million retail accounts. That's come down a little bit. But a lot of these folks, and look, some of you are listening to this and thinking, this has been a disaster. Well, it's, you know, welcome to the yin and yang of the stock market. It's, I got a kick out of that, something that, and that's not that I'm neither a fan nor not of Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger. And for those of you who didn't follow that, you know, Berkshire Hathaway doesn't hold an earnings call. They put out a press release on Saturday and Warren Buffett holds forth one year, holds court, one time a year and describes what they're doing. And they publish a 10-Q that talks about their positions even before they have to report them for the quarter. That would be about the middle of this month following the 13F regimen in the market. And they don't have an IR person, but they sit and talk. And so, you know, Charlie Munger said, we've had a lot of people in the stock market who don't know anything about the stock market, who are being advised by brokers who know even less. I'm not sure how much of that is true, It's, you know, there's a point here about making sure that you understand what you're doing. And as a self-serving plug, that's why we launched Market Structure Edge. It's to help you understand how the market works today. And I do agree that intermediaries, there are so many intermediaries in the stock market, and they all make money. Well, you don't. There are the whole system is built around market making. A broker will be a party to every transaction. And then many of those before you are even party to them. And so 60% of trading volume comes from parties who are just supposed to be advisors, not participating in the market. And then you got the stock exchanges, the dark pools, all of these are the shareholder owned or broker operated middlemen who take a little piece. And when you have so much intermediation, they all do well and you don't.
That's been the way for so long. And I mean, it's just kind of moved. Like if you think back, you know, the intermediation going back 30 years ago, your stockbroker would take 1% in, 1% out, or maybe it's 1% or 0.5% and 0.5% out, but 1%, like you put 100 grand something, they take $1,000 for making that trade. That sounds like so archaic, like so like long, but the intermediation just changed. I mean, the money now it's gone. And, you know, obviously we know payment for order flow facilitates that, you know, where they can make the spreads and, you know, obviously rip off the liquidity providers. I mean, this is just kind of, you know, moved where this intermediation is still there. It's just kind of changed its form.
I completely agree. And a great way to see this. So you'd say 1% is just horrible. Right? Well, why would we pay 1% for something? And well, think about it this way. It's a metric that we put on the Edge platform. We track intraday volatility. I think it's a great way to think about that the amount of money intermediaries are making. So here's the EV group, you know, and there are 13 components here, and Tesla's about in the middle, 2.6 and trending down, 44% short. I think it actually is down to about 38 now. So all the shorts are covering. But look at this volatility category. Let me zoom that in. So that is the amount that the price moves from high to low every day. That's what people are making off of you. You wow. could take roughly 60% of that. So you say, well, 1% is I'm just getting job. No, you're not. You're getting job by the market. That's it. And I used this example last week in the demo for edge users that, you know, if something has divergent supply and demand and its intraday volatility is 4% and it goes down 4%, I'm buying that. Why? Because there's almost 100% chance that I make at least 2, because it will recover, because intermediaries know the spreads. They know the ranges and they're going to make money on that. So it's something you should know, traders. You should know how much the price moves, because you can use it to your advantage just like they do.
All right, Tim Kwas, marketstructureedge.com, link in description. I highly recommend everyone check it out. Tim, have a great one. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good.
All right.
See you guys.
Thanks, Tim.
Once again, I know we mentioned this earlier, but I want to bring up the earnings calendar for the week. The theme of earnings this week, I'm going to say it's travel. A lot of companies that facilitate travel or traveling are going to be reporting. Companies like Airbnb, Caesars Entertainment, MGM Studios or MGM Resorts is tonight. Marriott, Uber, Lyft, Royal Caribbean. So you got a SeaWorld. You got a lot of travel, TripAdvisor, just a lot of travel-based companies.
I think that's a sector that could have decent numbers.
Yeah.
Because it's looking back. Like I said, people want to get out there and they want to do stuff. And, you know, they've been cooped up and they're helping build their homes. So that stuff got hit first. I still think there's like people that want to go out and do stuff, though, and they're not going to cancel their vacation because I haven't went on vacation in 2 years. So, I mean, this is, you know, I think the numbers from those travel stocks could actually be surprising to the upside. With that being said, I don't know if it's going to be sustainable, though. And that's where discretionary income comes in. That's where the consumer's strapped a little bit. And like, are they going to just be going out and, you know, booking trips 6 months, a year from now? I'm not sure going forward. But looking back, and the quarters, obviously, it's what an earnings report is. It's a look back. I mean, I think over the course of the last few months, people have been traveling and doing stuff more. So I think you could see some surprising numbers to the upside in some of those stocks.
Joel, I feel like you had something to add, and then you got...
Oh, I was just, when I was thinking about Uber and Lyft, I just didn't know with, you know, the price of gasoline and everything, how that had like affected the drivers and everything. If people are, you know, they're just passing that on to the customers. So
probably
it was already a lot more expensive than cabs and everything. So the hotels and stuff. Yeah. You know, we'll see with the car rentals. That's been one part of the market. Actually, Barron's wrote that up about the cruise lines that they
Joel,
were being kind of ignored.
You can't quit it, can you? You can't quit
Barron's. It's last week. It's last week.
Okay, all right. Okay, if you say so.
That support, I mean, CCL, I mean, good support here, $17. I don't know about RCL, but that was one thing they mentioned.
All right, let's do some ticker time. First one I see here. Anyone have any opinions on Avis earnings? Well, maybe I should look up when that is before I even say anything. So, car reports, is it this week? It looks like it. It's, yeah. That's today. That's after the close today. Avis, I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, I do have it on my list. It's number 3 on my list, actually.
Whoops. I don't even know. Oh, yeah.
Man, this stock was, you know, obviously we saw what happened to Hertz and. Then you think, and then it was the wrong thing. And then it had the ridiculous, it became a meme stock. And then it had the ridiculous move from $100 to $545 on that famous day back in November. Could Avis have a surprise numbers to the upside? It could. This is just like one of those, you know, social media darlings now, though, that I'm scared of those stocks.
So it's come
I think
off
I'm just
hard.
Not even going to try to make a call on the stock.
Yeah. I mean, it's come down pretty, you know, So there's on a pop, I think you're going to find sellers here just because you got over 320. Wow, look at this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lower highs. So just people just trying to get out. Could have sold on strength and then it turned to selling on weakness. Must hold down at, that 260. Keep an eye on that if you're worried about more downside. You had three lows right at the 260 area. You breached that on Thursday. But held it on Friday. So 260 right. And then all those daily highs.
What about CrowdStrike for Keith McKinley here? Cyber had been one of your few safety areas. It obviously came off hard in the last couple of weeks, but I don't know.
Valuation has started to matter. It's been the story, you know, like the Palo Altos and all of them have been forgiven. Because we're still in this whole cybersecurity, you know, where it's needed. I mean, there's no doubt it's needed. You get these phishing stuff to your emails every single day. So there's demand there. But the valuations on these stocks are still very high. And they're coming for that stuff now, too. Even if, you know, the story is still hot, the valuation is just starting to matter so much. I mean, CrowdStrike, I don't know if they make money. So, I mean, it's hard to even value when you don't make money. But
yeah, I mean,
got to get it back above 198. Three lows in a row. I mean, I just, you know, I don't like these kind of charts where you break down. You broke down through 198 on Friday. You're trading down. So use that one. Use yesterday's low. Wow, was that was a big day. Got to get above 198. Just don't look so open between 198 and 180. Don't like the way that chart's looking.
What's the PE on it if it makes money?
All right, give me 2 seconds. That is so. I don't want to tell you. It's way too high.
Still,
it's triple figure. Three.
That's
figures.
The problem. Yeah. Is this stuff and the growth could be there. I do believe that this is an industry that the growth could actually catch up to the names. But right now, they're just, you know, looking simple Simon analysis. It's like triple-digit PE equals sell. Yeah. I mean, that's really what it is. So sometimes, again, this market that can, you know, go and look and say, well, eventually it's going to grow into that. This is not the market that's doing that, though, right now. So I would sell all rallies in CrowdStrike.
All right. It is 9 o'clock, everyone. So we got to hop here. I hope we weren't too negative.
I think we were positive.
Too alarmist. Yeah.
I was like saying, I feel like inflation is going to slow. I feel like that's working. I thought it was not bullish, but I thought it was trying to be positive here.
The ultimate irony would be if inflation does come down and the market goes with it, and then that would just be like, I think
once you see a soft inflation number, there's going to be a wicked rally off of that. So I'd be scared to be short going into that CPI data next week if it's next week.
We shall see. Hey, before we go,
I'm gonna let you guys go. I got a lot of symbols to come over there, and the Brentster's joining me. The Brentster briefing with Brent. So I'll check in with you guys later
briefing on. With Brent. Before I go, want to mention I mentioned this a few times as well the last couple of weeks. If you haven't checked out our redesigned Benzinga.com/premarket page. You definitely should check it out. It's got everything you need, really, when you come in the morning. It's got movers. It's got news. It's got ratings. You can even watch our show. You go to Benzinga.com/premarket. You click on this little tab there. It's just premarket prep. You can watch us right there, right? So this page is great, newly redesigned. Shout out to our team for that. It looks great. It is great. There's a lot of info on that page. Check it out, Benzinga.com/premarket. Also, we are coming up now. The FinTwit conference is next week, if you can believe it. I'm going to drop a link in the chat right now. The link will get you $200 off your ticket. There is the link, the Bitly link. Check it out there. You have a couple more days to use that link. And it's going to be an amazing two-day conference next week in Vegas. I'll be there. And come hang out with Benzinga and learn and network and have some fun. So that'll be a wrap for our show today. Thanks to Tim Quast. Thanks to all of you in all of our chats. Thanks to all of you who watched on YouTube and on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and wherever else the people are watching. Don't forget to drop us a like. I'd appreciate a thumbs up wherever you're watching the show. And I'm going to send you over now to Live Trading with Benzinga. Mitch, Ryan knows you need today's Zunaid said he's feeling a little bit sick, but you got Mitch and Ryan. I'll try to stop by if I can for a few. And that's it. So good luck out there. Try to stay green and have a good one.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.